Hello, my name is Catherine Giles and I'm a partner of Nichols Family Lawyers. I'd like to begin today by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and pay my respects to their elders past and present. I extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may be listening to this podcast. Today I'm joined by the lovely Samira Tolo, the Chief Technology Officer or the CTO and co-founder of Elbate, to discuss the ever-evolving landscape of cryptocurrency and how this relatively new and uncharted market affects family law matters. Elbate was founded in Melbourne in 2017, and it emerged from a need for secure cryptocurrency transactions. Elbate ensures that users retain control of their crypto throughout the transaction process, blending robust security with ease of use. So why are we here? Well, cryptocurrency has evolved over the last decade since the first conception of Bitcoin in 2009. Currently, the movement towards cryptocurrency as a means of exchange has become heavily entrenched in the financial landscape and certainly become a mainstream way of acquiring assets. The family law space is implicated by the evolution of cryptocurrency, as parties may be secretive in respect of their cryptocurrency ownership, which is why we reached out to you in the first place, Samira. Furthermore, certain tools ought to be utilised to track and trace cryptocurrency holdings for the purpose of property settlement in family law. And Samira joins us today to delve into the particulars of cryptocurrency and how this affects us all as family law practitioners. So thank you, Samira, for joining us today.
This is a huge pleasure. So one of our growing ambitions is actually to work with more professional services so that we can really better service Australians every day as their needs grow and are becoming more and more complex, right?
Very good. No, that's why we certainly reached out to you in the first place, because cryptocurrency is not something that I know a particularly lot about, and I definitely needed to upskill and get your help and your expertise on working out well whether I'm fully aware of everything that I need to know about cryptocurrency. So as a real starting foundation, Samira, what is cryptocurrency and how does it differ from any other type of holding like a share in Woolworths or BWS? Tell us what cryptocurrency is.
Yes. I agree. It's a completely perfect place to start out with, because the defining factor around cryptocurrency is what makes it so complicated to deal with in general.
Totally.
So the way that we define cryptocurrency is that it's a completely digital and online currency. So it can be used as a form of payment, it can be used as a trading vehicle, and so the underlying technology behind it is blockchain. And so this blockchain, what it is basically, is a free bookkeeper for all cryptocurrency transactions, right? So this bookkeeper or this blockchain records this crypto, so one Bitcoin went here, this Bitcoin went there tomorrow, all of these things, right? So it keeps a track of where these cryptocurrencies are and where they have gone to. And so the other interesting fact about cryptocurrencies is that there is no central body that governs the issuance of these cryptocurrencies or that control the movement of these cryptocurrencies. It is completely operated by computers spread it all around the world. So that's where the tricky part is.
And that's where we all get very scared and don't understand. Those who don't understand crypto, I think those are the two sort of myth busters, is that there is no central bank, for example, and so people think, is it secure? And they also think, well, how will I ever know if my spouse is telling me the truth about what they earn in terms of crypto? And I think the other myth, which is touched on first, is that we all thought for a very long time that crypto was somehow this sort of in the dark web, we could never find out about it. And I remember when you came to our office, you and your brother Morty told us that it's actually something you can trace, because that's the inherent nature of it. It's all blockchain, which is all there to be able to be discovered. And I thought that was really interesting, and it really changed my perception of cryptocurrency and how I give advice about it and how we trace it for the purposes of family law. So in terms of just on that point, how does the cryptocurrency transaction work?
So Cryptocurrency transactions is one of the other reasons why the crypto community have really loved cryptocurrency. So the transactions work in a way where you first request the network to send crypto from one address. So if somebody is wanting to send crypto to maybe their mother, you know,
sure,
maybe as a form of payment or any other
gifting,
a gift, right? So firstly, you need to have control of the wallet that holds this cryptocurrency.
This is the hot and cold wallet thing that you and Morty taught us about.
Yes. So wallets are basically where does this cryptocurrency live in? So it's the house address, your postal house address. And so if you have the keys to your house, you have access to move the contents of your house in and out. Right. So that's the key thing. You first need to have a wallet that can then house contents. And the contents will be the cryptocurrency assets in here. So yes, we want to gift a couch to our mum. Cool. So what we need to first know is where does your mum live? So we need her wallet address or her house address, right?
Yeah.
And then so we request the network that can you send one Bitcoin to my mum's address? And then so what the Bitcoin network will do is it will take this request, and there's a whole there's everybody else that's also wanting to make a transaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to pay a fee to the network.
Right. What's the fee?
Process. And this is,
or it depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Each blockchain has their own fee mechanism. Bitcoin's one of its biggest scrutiny with the Bitcoin blockchain is that the fees are so high.
Gotcha.
To even create one single transaction. So imagine if you're not sending a whole couch, you're sending a single
lamp.
A bag of sugar.
Okay.
Right?
Not lamp, sugar.
Yeah. A lamp can be valuable.
Got it.
So you pay a fee for this couch to be delivered to the network, and then the network will line it up against all of the other requests that other people are making, and they will also weigh up and prioritize those transactions that have paid a higher fee. So you pay a higher fee, you will be first.
Priority.
Yeah.
Okay.
So once that request has been made, then all of the computer network that are maintaining this blockchain will then validate and process and keep that record in this book.
So it's not instant, is what you're telling me?
No.
And it can take, can it take 10 minutes? Can it take a day? Can it take a week? Or is it more likely to sort of be 24 hours?
Yeah, and that's one of the really tricky things about this whole crypto space is that it is so fluctual.
Okay.
As demand grows, the congestion will grow.
Yeah, okay.
So we've seen at its quickest, at its lowest demand times, it can be, you know, a minute.
Okay.
Or at its highest, I remember one time it took a crypto transaction that we were trying to do 3 years ago during one of the peak in 2021. It took over 3 days.
Okay. So we're not talking about a week. We're talking about, yeah, so 3 days is a long time for the transactions to occur.
Gotcha. But that's, you know, for Bitcoin.
Yeah, okay. And talking about that, so Bitcoin is obviously the one we all know about. What are the most popular cryptos that we all need to be sort of looking out for? I think Bitcoin, Ethereum, what are the other big ones?
Yeah. So in answering this question, I want to talk about the entire cryptocurrency market cap. Yep. So currently today in 2024 in September, we're looking at $2.1 trillion US is the entire crypto market value.
Goodness.
So now that's a big number. That's highly celebrated. However, if we break it down, 60% of that market cap is only Bitcoin.
Yeah, okay.
So Bitcoin, that's why it's just known as like the gold of this industry.
And one Bitcoin is really expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, again, time reference 2024 September, it's sitting around 90,000 Australian. Goodness. At the moment.
Yeah.
So, so because 60% is Bitcoin, Ethereum, what we call as the silver of the cryptocurrency.
Gotcha.
It used to be actually only just last year 30% of the market cap. It's now reduced to only 15%.
Oh, Oh, right.
Yes. So it's 15% Ethereum. Now, these two coins have now comprised 75% yes. of the entire market cap.
So what's the rest? Just all little random cryptos?
Yes. So right. the rest, they are in the single digit market share.
Okay.
So Cardano has been really popular recently, Solana. And so when we go down to every other cryptocurrency outside of these two names, because their market domination is and their adoption is still not quite high, they have huge price fluctuations.
Yeah, okay.
And that's one of the big things that we need to be concerned about when we are dealing with clients that have crypto holdings, if it is outside of these two major cryptos. Right, the price fluctuations will be so high. It can be even 100% in a single day.
Yeah, okay. And that's really important for us to know as family lawyers, because we're always trying to drill down to a value of the asset pool at any one time, usually at the date of a mediation or at the settlement or at a final hearing. And so if crypto is, you know, a large or a significant asset within the pool, it's really important for us to know that, because if you're acting for the spouse who holds the crypto, if they've got one of those less dominant cryptos, it's going to make a huge difference to potentially to their asset pool, and likewise on the flip side to the spouse who doesn't hold them, because you just need to check in almost.
Absolutely. And the timing of when the court order has occurred
totally.
In regards to the timing of that cryptocurrency's price as well.
Yep.
So it becomes really complicated and interesting. So I am actually really keeping an eye on how the courts will deal with this issue.
Totally. Yeah, I think, I mean, from the point of view of our court, I think it's just, if it's a final hearing, I mean, I think as a solicitor, you're going to be checking in on that almost every day of that trial to make sure that we know exactly what it is we're dealing with. I mean, that's obviously for the more volatile cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin, does that hold, and Ethereum, do they hold their value pretty steady?
So the price fluctuations is both a criticism and something that people have loved about the crypto industry.
Depends on your appetite for risk, I suppose.
So there's a whole heap of adoption out of just the daily, out of the day traders that have just fallen in love with the volatility of all of these assets. And then there are the other group of the cohort that are really interested in long-term investment.
Yeah.
So at a long-term perspective, Bitcoin and Ethereum have done quite well. So against the ASX, I think they are amongst the top 10 assets that have grown in a 10-year period. So there is long-term.
Bitcoin, of course, yeah. Ethereum
has seen some long-term value.
You don't have trillions of dollars of value in cryptocurrency unless it is doing something good. Yes.
Yeah. Bitcoin itself, there is actually a four-year cyclic pricing cycle that it does have.
Right.
And again, because of Bitcoin's influence being 60% of the market cap at the moment, it does influence all of the other coins' pricing as well.
So interesting.
When evaluating crypto assets of clients, I would also look at what point of the four-year cycle are we at in terms of Bitcoin.
Yeah, okay. So Bitcoin's always the reference, really. Like even if the wallet is made up of those other less popular, for want of a better word, cryptos, we're always going to be referencing back to Bitcoin and what Bitcoin's doing.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess that leads into that that next question that I had is about that issue and coming back to, you know, everyone's perception for a long time about crypto and whether it's, you know, black magic and how we really, what's our starting point as lawyers wanting to know, well, I know there's crypto, what do I ask for in terms of documentation or proof of what crypto they have, and how can I be satisfied that, and this is really why we came to you, Samira, right from the get-go, is how can we be satisfied that we have all the information for our clients to be satisfied that they know what crypto the other person, their spouse, has?
Yeah. And this topic, I think, will become more and more popular and a point of a problem for the industry to try and solve together.
Mm.
So As it stands, there are a couple of tools that we can lean on. So in Australia, one of the leading policies that had come out in 2019 was the AML and CTF Act for digital currency exchanges that are registered with AUSTRAC.
Okay.
That they must KYC each of their customers.
Okay.
And so if you think about the typical life cycle of an average cryptocurrency adopter, their first point of contact with any cryptocurrency will be through an exchange.
Yes.
And so especially if they have worked with or created an account with an Australian cryptocurrency exchange, we will know
how much they put into the beginning.
Yes. So the wallet that the exchange would create under that customer, we can keep track throughout the whole life cycle, right? So there is an element of
traceability. Yeah.
The traceability aspect has always been there just because of the nature of the blockchain, but it about the point of pinpointing who this belongs to,
mm-hmm.
so uncovering the mystery around
the ownership. Yeah.
We can rely on digital currency exchanges because of AML-CTF acts. And globally, this act has been adopted.
So if I had a client whose spouse had crypto in the UK, I would be able to, in the same way, look at that and see the point of conception of their purchase of crypto, or is that just Australia?
So in most developed nations, the requirement for digital currency exchanges to KYC their clients is part of the law now.
Yeah.
So we can rely on that. Now, where it gets really tricky is if your client or your client's partner is a very, I guess, native crypto user.
Yes.
We call them degens.
Degens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. It's not derogatory, it's actually celebrated.
Yeah, okay. They're like the knights of crypto.
So if you're a degen, you're classified as someone that absolutely values their privacy online, and so they will do everything in their power to be able to conceal their identity and their crypto holdings online. So one of the ways that they can achieve that is bypassing digital currency exchanges, registered digital currency exchanges overall, and instead go straight into the blockchain world. So maybe they create an anonymous Discord profile and they join one of these DeFi projects.
Okay.
As a community member.
Okay. And so sounds very...
And being a community member,
yep.
You can be entitled to airdrops. And this is just one very specific scenario.
And I feel like if this is what we're dealing with, I feel like the first protocol for me would be, Samira, what's happening? What do I do? What am I asking for? How can I get around this? Is there an around? Is there a way around?
Yeah. So I think the best way to proceed with these cases is to categorize the client into a simple lurk type of client,
yep.
or the complex degen type of client.
Yeah, okay.
So once we get that categorization done,
yep.
we can then do a different type of investigation for the degen.
Yep.
There are, again, lots of tools available, wallet tracing, any interaction made with any of the wallets that can be known to their name, we can trace it all. And so, there's quite powerful.
So there's ways tools. To really be satisfied that you know that what we're putting a value on in terms of the crypto asset, we can be pretty sure. Appreciate what you said about the volatility of some of the values of crypto. We can be pretty sure that we've got a pretty good idea of what's there, what's owned, and then it's a matter of valuing it.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, well, that leads me to our next question then. So if crypto assets haven't been disclosed in the process of our early investigations about people's assets, what are some steps that can be taken by family lawyers to investigate that further, and what are the right questions to be asked?
Yes, absolutely. So I think starting out, first of all, with why was there a suspicion in the first place that there is undisclosed cryptocurrency? So that can tell us a lot, right? So if the client says, you know, my partner always talks about this thing called CoinSpot, for example, or this thing called Elbay, those are the names of some exchanges. So if they're, these are the types of clues that can, first of all, also help us categorize whether which type of cryptocurrency user we can put.
Going back into the simple or the degen.
Yes. So it'll give us, the more information we can get, of course, is beneficial. So once we get a general understanding on how we can categorize them, then we can really, the family law practice, because all especially the Australian cryptocurrency exchanges here, we are registered with AUSTRAC. We comply with six rulings, even though it's still quite unclear. We are very participating in the legal proceedings, right? So,
which takes away the black magic vibe of the whole cryptocurrency, where everyone thinks it's all shrouded in secrecy. My dealings with you, Smira, have really opened my eyes to this actually not being it being a legitimate asset, and it being a legitimate asset that we can trace and that is not actually so secret. It really has opened my eyes to that.
Yeah.
I was quite naive about it, I'll be honest about it, and you have really helped us understand that, and I think that's been really helpful for our clients, because we've been able to put them in touch with you so that they can really get that extra level of service from us to really understand, am I being told the truth, or in the flip side, am I giving enough information to meet my disclosure requirements? So that is, it's a huge benefit. But do you think there are any changes in the cryptocurrency landscape coming up that might impact our clients in terms of their family law matters?
Mm. So I think only good things are yet to come. So currently, as it stands, there's a lot of unclarity in terms of how should a crypto exchange operate, what are the services that we can provide legally to our customers. So all of these uncertainty has also created a lot of uncertainty, you know, for family law practices as well.
Yeah. So
how do we interact with everyone that is dealing with crypto? So it's been very interesting in Australia. So in Australia, we were actually one of the leading nations in terms of regulating cryptocurrency. So back in 2019, that was actually a world first requirement.
That Aussies go.
Yeah. So the requirement for DCs to KYC their clients was a world first. And so we were leading in this charge, but slowly over the years, we've slowed down. And so other nations like Singapore have really actually led the charge here. So in Singapore, it's a very, it's an environment over there where it's really defined what is required of an exchange, what services are allowed. And so that has created.
Is that to protect the consumer?
All in consumer, well, actually there's two levers that we're trying to balance with any kind of law that comes out, consumer protection, but then also not stifling innovation.
Yes.
Right. So just enough regulation where businesses can adhere to it, but we're also protecting the clients at the end of the day. So only good things are going to come out in Australia, what I hope. So
yeah, great. What do you think a few key takeaways are for any family lawyers or family law clients who may be listening to today's session?
Absolutely. So one of my key things, especially working with with Nichols Family Law, one of our goals, especially in this interaction, was to demystify cryptocurrency for their clients in general.
And you've done that for us, I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really glad for that. And so previously our interactions have been with law enforcement, with accountants, and we've increasingly been seeing family law discuss with exchanges.
Yep.
And So my key takeaway here is that, yeah, please just lean on the experts for advice here.
Totally, yeah.
In this industry, it's complicated. It can be. But there are ways to think about it in a more simplified way.
It's similar. The service you can – the way I think about it is the service you can offer us is the same as if we're getting a valuer to go out and value a real property. It's someone who's in the field who understands every level of it to help us understand and simplify for us, have we got the information and what does that information mean for us? And that's why we came to you. You certainly helped me get there with that initial client that I came to you about. And I think I will just be continuing to lean on you, because you've made everything so much simple for me to understand. And I'm not someone who has crypto. And so I think that's an even bigger point of difference for you to just help understand and get to the bottom of these assets.
So one of the other points that I did want to touch on here is the adoption of cryptocurrency has just exponentially grown. So as life happens, death, divorce, and tax.
Yes.
The inevitables.
Well, let's hope divorce is not inevitable, but it's certainly a feature of our society.
Yes. So all of these matters, as people continue to adopt and include crypto as part of their portfolios, these life events will occur.
Mm.
And so professional services, I just hope that, you know, our interaction, Albay and Nichols Family Law, inspires further services to reach out and upskill your staff, because this is going to be a growing concern for clients.
Yeah, and a growing way for people to hold assets and build wealth. So I agree. I totally agree. And I think none of us are experts, and we all need to lean on people who know what they're talking about, who are specialised in their field. So,
and vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much for your time today. I really feel like I've again learned. Every time I meet with you, Samira, I learn something new. I think it's just like embedding in my mind more about crypto every time I speak with you. You're a force. Thank you for joining us on this podcast, and look forward to just hanging out more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.